the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Right, we are turning our attention back to the Dermot Connolly story. The Dublin legend announced his intercounty retirement last night, and Dublin All-Ireland winner Paul Curran is with us. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Was this news a surprise to you?
Yes, a little bit, yeah. I think the timing of it is a little bit strange, you know, with the county, you know, seeing set to restart in a couple of weeks' time. So, he's 33 years of age. He's a lot of football played with both club and county. Probably feels it's the right time to go. But the timing of it, as I said, is a little bit strange. And it adds to Desi's woes, I think. You know, the challenges he has not necessarily have been with, you know, Jim Gavin and Pat Gilroy in their first years. You know, losing a couple of great players himself, and Jack McCaffrey has stepped away earlier, and obviously Paul Clark from the management team. So there's challenges ahead for Desi. So a little bit surprised.
Yeah, because it definitely seemed at the tail end of last year that he could add something, to say the very least. And it almost felt that with another full year under his belt and maybe a little bit of a time to himself to actually work on the body or whatever during the pandemic, we might have actually got an even better version of Connolly this year, despite obviously the clock ticking.
Yeah, and absolutely. I agree totally. And the fact that it's a shortened season this year, I mean, they've only gone back to play a couple of league matches, and then it's into knockout football. So, you know, the max games that he can play between now and Christmas is 7. You know, so that would have been, you know, very easily achievable and doable for a fella as good and as fit as Dermot.
We obviously can only speculate here, but I wonder, was there a sense that he wasn't going to be in Desi's plans or getting enough game time over the next couple of months?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's the case, to be honest. I mean, the Desi's plans, I'd say, are kept firmly close to his chest at the moment. I mean, I don't think he'd have laid that to his players just yet, what he's expecting of them. I think they're only getting back as a group in the last week or so. So, look, this is a decision Dermot made himself. He's a guy that makes his own decisions, and I've no doubt that he's thought long and hard about it and felt that this is the right time to go.
We should talk about the incredible intercounty career he did put down then. If you had to pinpoint one moment where he was at his very peak in the blue of Dublin, what would it be?
Well, I think there were so many. I think if you YouTube Dermot Connolly's best bits, I think you get about 9 minutes of scintillating action on YouTube. I think everybody should have a look at him. They should show young boys and girls the ability that this fella had. I mean, he was gifted with athletic ability, number one, and obviously exceptional skills. I mean, he had it all, could kick left and right from really anywhere in the forward line, which is an incredible achievement. I don't think there's too many players in the history of the game that could do what he did in terms of his scoring ability with both feet from practically anywhere inside the forward line. So there was so many standout moments. I mean, for both club and county, I mean, he dragged Vincent's back to the top of Dublin football as well, and was a very, very committed club man. I mean, he's 2-5 in the All-Ireland Club Final against Castlebar. I think it was 2014, with one goal in particular where he dummy sold it right and popped it into the corner with left, stands out. But there were so many little moments that turned out to be, you know, big moments in games over the years.
Paul, only 2 All-Stars, you say, yeah. Only, but I mean, for a player of his talent, probably deserved a few more. But where does he rank in the annals of Dublin greats? Because there's been a serious list of players over the years, and the impact Dermot Connolly has had, the bounce back in 2018, the impact he had in 2011 as well in that quarter final against Tyrone, and Dublin, of course, going on to win that All-Ireland. Where is he in this list of Dublin's greatest footballers of all time?
Well, I think you mentioned the achievements list. You know, I mean, it's a very lengthy list, both club and county. But the column where it says All Stars is a kind of a curious one. I mean, this guy certainly deserved a lot more All Stars, and why he didn't pick them up is for debate. But I mean, he was part of a generation of forwards in the county that, you know, we probably never see again. I mean, the two Brogans, Paul Flynn, Kevin Mack was in there, Paul Mannion, Kilkenny. Like, the list is kind of endless. Conor O'Callaghan coming in. So, but I think Dermot was up there with the very best of them, not just with this generation of Dublin forwards and players, but also any other generation. I think he's one of the greatest forwards that we've seen over the years. And as I said, if you haven't seen the YouTube 9 or 10 minute clip of his skills, I think it's worth tuning in to see it, because some of the stuff that he was capable of doing, there's very few that were had the same ability. And so one of the best, if not the best.
Why do you think he didn't pick up more All Stars, Paul? I mean, is it a certain type of player that gets the nod from the panel? Is it what was it? Was it his disciplinary record? Why didn't he pick up more than two?
Yeah, I can't put my finger on that. Dermot was a kind of a maverick in ways. I mean, he did his own thing a lot of the time. He turned up to play. There was no bells or whistles with Dermot. He didn't do much press stuff over the years. Just let his football ability do the talking. But I can't answer that, to be honest. But it's a curious one. I mean, if he had 5 or 6 All Stars to his name, I don't think there'd be any argument at all. But to have two, I think is a curious one, as I said earlier, and one that I can't answer. I don't have any influence on the All Stars. You'd have to ask the lad in charge of that gig. But certainly two is too low for a fella who not only is one of the best Dublin forwards of all time and players, but also one of the best players to have played the game.
That idea of him being a maverick is very interesting, and we were making the point earlier on that in possibly the greatest game of football ever played in the 2013 semi-final with Kerry, Dermot Connolly is man of the match. It was that sort of open kamikaze game in which he stood out. Since then, we've obviously had a much more regimented style of Gaelic football coming in, and yet he has come in to make a big impact, as we saw in the drawn game in last year's All-Ireland final, which is almost a more impressive feat in itself.
Yeah, he could operate in any system, if you want to call it that, and the GAA has kind of moved from, you know, from a kind of an all-out action game to system-based at times. I mean, we put huge emphasis in kick-outs, we put huge emphasis in defensive play, and, you know, don't forget that Dermot has come up against, you know, mass defences at times. All teams now put huge emphasis on bringing numbers back and blocking up the defence at times. So he would have had to operate in that system, and was still able to produce magic year after year. And you know, he will be missed. There's no doubt about that. I mean, at 33, he's still probably capable of giving something, but unfortunately, that's not going to be the case. And the curtain comes down on a fantastic career.
Paul, could you explain to people who perhaps aren't Dublin fans just how much he is beloved within the Hill?
Well, I mean, he's up there with the greatest that we've had, you know. And, you know, forwards, the Hill loves forwards, good forwards, and, you know, the likes of, if you go back, the likes of Jimmy Keaveney and Charlie Redmond and, you know, Bernard Brogan, Alan Brogan. I mean, he is up there. I mean, the stuff that, as I said, he did on the field over the years endeared him to the Hill. And as I said, I think people actually like a no-nonsense personality as well. I mean, he just, I mean, he did exactly what he said on the tin. He just he togged out. There was no messing. He went about his game, and there was no bells or whistles or frills. It was just full on outstanding stuff. Really, you know, I can't describe how good this fellow was. As I said, have a look at the YouTube video on this fellow. It's astonishing. 9 or 10 minute clip on a terrific player.
Paul, myself and Owen were speaking earlier about, you know, how this Dublin team has changed. Even within the last 12 months, you've lost Jim Gavin, Owen O'Gara, Bernard Brogan, Darren Daly, even the likes of Jack McCaffrey as well, and now Jim McConnelly. So, changing face on this team. How are they set heading into this championship, a strange championship as it is, but with all those names gone and big names gone, a change of manager as well, and the pressure that comes with wanting to continue that run of All-Ireland wins, where are they set and how do you expect Dublin to progress and achieve more this year?
Yeah, well, I think every year brings its own challenges. This year we've had a change in manager. We've lost one of our greatest managers of all time, and Jim, who believed firmly in reinventing the team, I suppose, from year to year and bringing in new players and doing different stuff. And, you know, players come and go. That's one of the things that happens in sport. But we are still blessed with some incredible talent, and good talent coming through as well that has to be nurtured. So I think we're in a good place. I think the it's going to be interesting. 2000, I think, or 99 was the last year where we had a straight knockout competition. So, I mean, knockout competition always produces a shock or two down the years, and I would say that this year will be no different. I just hope that Dublin, you know, are able to cope with that and get on and, you know, attack the Leinster Championship like they always do, and then onwards. So it's a challenge. There's no doubt about it. There's a couple of little niggles that have happened over the last couple of weeks. I mean, it is a very strange year, losing McCaffrey, and obviously now Dermot is a big one, and Paul Clark stepping away from the management team, who's been there for the last couple of years. So, you know, fellas come and fellas go, and you just have to deal with it. And I'm sure Desi will be able to deal with that. I mean, as I said, there's plenty of talent there, and a good crop of players, and a good crop of young players coming through as well to add to it.
Yeah, the conveyor belt looks pretty well set as well. Listen, Paul Curran, pleasure chatting to you. Thanks a million for taking the call.
Not at all, pleasure.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette. Made of what matters.
We are returning to the Dermot Connolly story this morning, though, and Kieran Donaghy is with us. How are you getting on, Kieran?
Good on. How are you, man?
All good, all good. Are non-Dublin supporters, non-Dublin players breathing a sigh of relief this morning?
Yeah, of course, that we don't have to worry about the maestro anymore. It's an ease to everybody that's not a Dublin fan, I would say, this morning.
Like, we were chatting with Paul Curran a little bit earlier on, and he's very surprised that this news has come now. Are you the same? Are you in that camp, or did you see this coming?
I wouldn't be really surprised, really, to be honest, with anything that happens kind of on Dermot's side with Dublin. He's always kind of shocked us, whether he stepped away, whether he's been, you know, there's been issues before where he's been off the panel, on the panel. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? So nothing would surprise me really with him on that side of things. But in regards to the football ability, nothing surprises us there either when he's playing, because he can do anything. He's multi-talented. He's one of these generational type players, but also he's a generational type athlete. One of many of the Dublin guys that could really play anywhere from 15, probably back to 5. You could literally see Connolly with any one of those numbers on his back and be equally as devastating as a player on the pitch. Probably ideally as centre forward, where I thought he was at his best, but midfield, full forward. He's played corner forward, wing forward. And I'm sure if you horsed him in at centre back, he'd be an absolute nightmare for the opposition too. So an amazing talent, really, considering a player of that ability and knowing that he could actually play in any one of those positions and dominate a game explains to you kind of how much of a quality footballer this guy is. And you couple that with the athletic ability and his frame and his size and his big game temperament, you were dealing with a tough animal to stop on a big day.
How much of a concern was he on any given day taking on the Dubs?
I suppose when it came to the tail end of my career, he was one of many, but he was always top of the list for guys to try and watch out for. And obviously, you're putting one of your best defenders on him. But of course, he's a thorny side because of his raw power and speed, combined with being able to kick off either leg, combined with being fantastic in the air, combined with being able to pick off passes that most other humans can't see, and having a bit of an edge and having I liked a bit of an edge he had. You know, I liked that side of him on the pitch because he was never going to back down. You weren't going to push him around the place. And, you know, he fitted well into that Dublin team. They had a lot of fellas at the back like that, but he was probably the main guy in the forwards that would set the tone with body language and not taking a backward step. And he did that his whole career. And, you know, he was a joy to watch on any given day, bar the times he beat us when he was a pain to watch.
And also as well, I guess, it's just the whole emotional lift that he would give if he was coming on as a sub or with a big moment. I mean, you would have felt the brunt of the hill being on your back, but Dermot Connolly felt the exact opposite. The adulation that you heard coming from that sea of blue whenever he did anything in Croke Park.
Yeah, precisely. You know, he was always in the news, and that's what I meant by my first point earlier, that I wouldn't be surprised when he stepped away because he was kind of always in the news in the lead up to the game. Whether is he going to be on the squad? Has he left the squad? Is he going to be on the team? Is he going to be a sub? You know, he was always that guy, and he was the pantomime villain, which I know well playing against Dublin, playing in front of the hill. I was that to them, but you know, he was certainly the pantomime villain for all the other fans, and I think he loved that. And he also, of course, he loved being adored by those in the hill. And why wouldn't he be adored by those in the hill? He was Dublin through and through. He was a bio. And not only was he that, but he could back it up with all the skills of the game, kick fantastic points, and just be a general powerhouse around the pitch. So, of course, they loved him. And like when you look at his resume, it's second to none. He's 6 All-Ireland medals. I can't believe he only has 2 All-Stars. That's shocking to me for how good of a footballer he is. So, you know, maybe that other side to him, you know, I don't know the guy off the pitch, but maybe that other side to being in the news all the time, maybe it might have cost him a few All-Stars, but it's crazy to think a player that was at the top of his game since 2011 winning All-Irelands has only 2 All-Stars to show for it. No, look, the strength of that Dublin team and the amount of All-Stars they were getting may have something to do with it as well, but you know, I think he was always the talking point, and his football always did the talking when it had to, which is the most important thing.
Kieran, we spoke to you, I think it was last year after Jeremy had made his return to the Dublin fold, but you said you compared him to LeBron James, and you know, say it's like they've signed a free agent and they've got LeBron James back and they're a step away from the championship. Has Jeremy Connolly been the LeBron James of Gaelic Games for the past 5 or 10 years?
No, I don't think he's LeBron James, but what I meant by that was just the whole free agency kind of signing, but he's more of a kind of like Cantona figure. He's more of that kind of abrasive, collar up if he could wear it up, you know, in your face, has all the skill, has all the touches, you know, is a bit of a renegade away from the white lines, and, you know, but always delivers when counts. And I think if you look at Cantona's resume and Connolly's resume, when they were needed most in big games, they always delivered. And that's the one thing he'll always have, is that he always delivered when it counted, and all the other stuff will be forgotten about. What will be remembered when he's playing, when people think of him in 20 or 30 years, is those, you know, renegade runs down the pitch, crashing into fellas, kicking points, swiveling on the outside of the boot, off either boot, inside of the boot, off either boot. If you look at that kind of skill package, the dummy solos, just the power, the strength of him, you know, he was a handful. There's no back going out the night before a game, including the very best that went toe-to-toe with him and may have levelled out with him, the likes of Lee Keegan. But there was none of them sitting down the night before. There's none of them that will honestly tell you that they couldn't wait to go toe-to-toe with him. There'd always be that level of kind of, you know, I really have to be on the top of my game. There'd be fierce trepidation there if you were going in playing a guy like that, because you know at any minute he can do something special that will win a game for the team you're playing against.
You mentioned the Cantona comparison there, and Cantona had moments like the chip in off the post and turning around slowly to face the whole crowd. Well, like we were speaking this morning about different Jim McConnelly moments that, you know, I guess there was the club final in 2014. I think there was the Donegal game in 2014 as well, yeah. The Tyrone yeah. quarter final in 2011. What? It's probably hard when you're standing on the pitch with him to stand back and observe and enjoy him. But what are your highlights of Jim McConnelly's career?
The pass last year against Kerry was, no, I'm not sure it was meant for Kilkenny. It might have been meant for Mannion, I think, was coming out inside him, but it doesn't matter who it was meant for, because it was going to fall into either of their laps. Kilkenny caught it up here, Mannion would have caught it into his chest. But just at that stage of the game, I think Dublin might have been up a point or 2 points, and just to see the vision of it and to be able to see it and then be able to execute it. And, I saw a pass in the club championship this year too in Parnell Park, where he played an absolute beauty of a ball over the top that led to a goal. So he always had that eye for the pass, but he backed. And he has natural talents, but don't get me wrong, Dermot Connolly was the young guy that was down the pitch kicking nonstop. You know, you can say natural ability, and people used to say that, including me, about the Gooch and these type of once-off classic players. And yeah, it's natural, and yeah, they're gifted and all that, but these guys put in more work than anybody else on a football pitch, and that's the bottom dollar when it comes to those skills. But I would say that pass, and maybe his point off of, I think it was 16 against us on the left leg when they were a pint up, the 74th minute, there was a minute to go. You know, if that was me coming through, I wouldn't be taking that kick anyway. But look, I would have said, look, we're a pint up. I'm not going to kick this from 40 yards on my left leg, going away from goals, into the hill, which is a tougher end maybe to kick into, in case I drop a chart and give Kerry a chance to come down and equalise in the last minute. Never crossed his mind, never broke stride, came onto it and kicked a wonder score into the hill to give him the 2 points, and probably saw them out of that game in what was a titanic game in those probably two or three games that we played against Dublin. They were all titanic battles, 11, 13 and 16. And that point was a crucial one, as much as kind of Alan Brogan's was against us in 15. So they were probably two of the scores and moments that catch up. But yeah, even that Donegal game you were talking about, like, you know, Dublin had a nightmare that day in the second half, but Connolly throughout was unbelievable, carrying the fight to them until it was gone. So yeah, he's those two, I would say, the pass last year against Kerry in the final. And you look, he's gone out on top, so like, as I said earlier, it doesn't surprise me. You know, he's done it all. He won't have to live with the headaches of the badgering off the pitch anymore. He'll be able to go in and absolutely excel at club level for the next, he's 33, he could play, I'd say, 7 years at club. Like, he's in phenomenal shape. I don't see him not playing club football. I don't see Vincent's not being able to use him. You know, bar injury is the only reason I don't see Connolly going on. And obviously his will to want to go on and do more for Vincent's and win more club All-Irelands and county titles or whatever. That'll be the only thing that'll stop him going on playing many more years for his club.
Does this bring Dublin back to the pack ever so slightly?
Oh, does it bring him back to the pack?
Just a tad back. Obviously, they're well ahead of the pack, but I'm just saying, is it a setback?
You're losing him. So look, it is a bit of a setback for them. But I don't think this Dublin team, you know, look, they've got Con Callaghan that's ready to take on the Connolly torch for the next, you know, 10 or 15 years, like Clifford took it off Gooch a few years ago. It's not, you know, the jersey's always bigger than you, and he will be a loss to this Dublin team, but this Dublin team are in such a place with the players they have that I don't think, you know, it'll have too much of an effect on them. But in saying that, when the game's in the melting pot and there's 10 minutes to go and you're bringing on a player and you're thinking, geez, I could be bringing on Dermot Connolly, of course you'd probably prefer to bring him on. So he may be a loss to them in that regard. But, you know, I think this Dublin machine rolls on no matter who retires, whether it's a Bernard Brogan, whoever, them wheels keep on churning forward, and they're producing great athletes and great players in underage teams, and they'll be right there. So I don't think it affects them overly. But, you know, if they lose a game by a point this year, of course, is going to be looked back and going, geez, if they Connolly 15 minutes ago, what could have happened? So that's where I probably see that line.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what does happen. Like, I mean, the gap is still there. Kieran, great stuff this morning. We'll chat to you in another time.
Yeah, perfect. No hassle.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.